how about children that may, for example, have lost their parents due to AIDS?
Oh yes, that is a huge area of work as well for UNICEF. It's actually called the Protection of OVCs, Orphans and Vulnerable Children. The number of children in the world who are orphaned of one parent or two seem to be around 16 million. So these children can be living with their grandparents, with extended family, they can be single-headed households, and the impact on these children of the HIV epidemic is totally different in the sense of it affects their nutrition, they're discriminated against, the household income is reduced drastically, so the poor people become even poorer, access to education becomes extremely difficult. So yes, the impact on the child because of the fact that they have a parent who lives with HIV, who's just died of HIV,
yes,
is extremely big, especially with also the psychosocial trauma that the child endures. So UNICEF works to be able to set up, let's say, community-based care centers for these children, or even what they call in some places like Malawi children's corners, to be able to not tackle, but sort of work with the psychosocial trauma part of the child.
So it's about prevention and support.
Yes, it's more about support. For example, there's lots of cash transfer systems and schemes. For example, if an aunt is taking care of the child, because the child is now orphaned of both parents, they give a cash transfer that can be very minimal amount, but that could be the income that makes the difference for the child to go or not to go to school.
Could you tell us a bit more about a specific successful HIV or AIDS project that UNICEF has been involved in?
Sure. I know of this specific case in Swaziland. Swaziland, again, is one of those hyper-endemic countries in sub-Saharan Africa, and it actually has the highest HIV prevalence rate, with 26% of its adult population living with HIV. Due to funding from partners like corporate partners like Barcelona Football Club, they were able to build national capacity to diagnose AIDS and HIV amongst the child population, which meant that they no longer had to depend on South Africa to be able to send all their samples to South Africa for the samples to come back.
Okay.
And that meant that the waiting period for the mothers to have these results went drastically down from 18 to 2.5 days. That meant mothers and their children were no longer going back home and possibly forgetting about the results, but they were able to hang around the health clinics, find out the results, and if they were HIV positive, immediately get the treatment.
Well, that's a really fantastic example of UNICEF in action, I think. One of the questions that our supporters asked actually was, UNICEF used to talk a lot about HIV and AIDS, so why is it no longer seemingly a priority?
Well, it has sort of gone down globally as a priority because maybe it's not as urgent as 5-10 years ago. There was this urgency of sort of HIV and AIDS is gonna swap the whole world, and there was that urgency, and there no longer is because of all the programs that are being carried out in the field, which is a good thing. But because of that now and the economic global crisis, there seems to be a bit of less urgency to fight against AIDS, and therefore the funding needs, the funding contributions are actually decreasing, which is obviously a worry for all the stakeholders involved in this sort of global fight against HIV and AIDS. It doesn't mean that UNICEF is doing less, but what we are doing is that with the less funding, we have to be more efficient, and the key word right now is prevention.
Okay.
So we're preventing and eliminating mother-to-child transmission.
Yeah.
We're preventing the infection amongst young people, and then we're also protecting those orphans and vulnerable children.
Okay, that's great, thank you.